winning your inner battles, the war within. And today we're going to talk about winning your battle against bitterness. Winning your battle against bitterness. And we're going to jump right into Matthew chapter 18, we're going to start from verse 21 through verse 35. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of God, of heaven, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, and I would pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to do so. Shouldn't you have mercy on your servant, on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." For today, this is part one of this particular sermon, because it's so chock full of biblical truth. We are going to focus on verses 21 and 22 today. Next Sunday, we're going to tackle verses 23 through 35. In verse 21 and 22, Peter posed a question about forgiveness, and then he gave back his own answer. He asked, "How many times shall I forgive my brother who sins against me?" Seven times. He answers his own question. And he asked that question based on one premise in mind. And we see that Jesus accepted his premise as true. The premise that he had, in fact, other versions have correctly translated Peter's question as, "How many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" So the idea is that Peter did not use the conjunction "if." He used the word "when." So here is the premise that formed the basis of Peter's question. And the premise is this: whenever you are involved in any type of relationship, it is a given, it is a fact that these people will sin against you. They will disappoint you, and they may even hurt you. Welcome to the human race. The husband that you thought was so lovely, so wonderful, such a gentleman, will hurt you. Will do things that seem thoughtless, That little baby girl that you bring home who is an angel who couldn't do any wrong, by the time they're two, they're lying to you. They're refusing to follow your direction. By the time they become a teenager, they're calling you every name in the book. The reality is that whenever you are in relationship with people, they are going to hurt you. They are going to sin against you. They are going to do things that will bother you, will hurt you. And interestingly enough, someone said, and I think it was John MacArthur who said, you know, talking, when he was talking to a group of young people from the Master's College, and he told them, they were talking about preparation for marriage, dating, and he said something that is so true. He said, the first quality that you need to seek or look for in a potential mate, above all else, is their ability to forgive. Ask yourself, is that person a forgiver? And if that person cannot forgive, if they hold grudges, if they come back to you over and over with things that you've done in the past, run for the hill. Because no relationship, no friendship, no marriage, no work relationship will last unless and until that person, both individuals, have learned to forgive. You could have the person who's got all the qualities in the world. If that person is kind of like counting, you know, you do one thing today, they let it go for you, but it's still there. The account is building. You do something else, you ask forgiveness. They let it go for you, but it's still there. Now the account just went back to $2 worth of hurt. And then you continue, and they continue within a couple of years to 3 years. This is when they blow up on you. And you go, because of one little thing that you've done. And you go, whoa, what happened? And they start getting, not hysterical, but historical on you. The husband said, whenever my wife and I have an argument, she gets historical. And the person said, wait a minute, what do you mean? She gets hysterical? Oh, well, that too, but primarily she gets historical. She starts telling me all the things that I've done wrong for the last 25 years of our marriage. Things that I thought were already gone, but they were not gone, they were simply buried. And she unburies them whenever we have an argument. If someone is unable to forgive, you cannot have a relationship with them. And if you are unable to forgive, you cannot have a relationship. I was talking to a pastor once about another person, and then that pastor told me, you know what, this girl, she is not marriage material. And I'm like, why? I mean, that person, you know, she worships God, she loves God, she's nice, she's kind. But he said, if you talk to her, she doesn't know how to forgive. She talks about everything that her father, her mother, her sister, her old friend have done to her. She remembers every single one of them. And if that person cannot forgive, if they don't have the ability to forgive the sin of other people, why would you want to get yourself in a relationship with that person? Because I don't care if you are as holy as you are not Jesus Christ. You will mess up. You won't mess up once. You won't mess up twice. You will mess up over and over again. And imagine somebody, instead of simply forgiving the sin and moving on, forgiving the things that you've done and moving on, that person keeps adding all the stuff that you've done. Eventually they'll blow up on you. And that marriage is never going to last. So I'm telling you right now, today, if you're married, if you're thinking about marriage, if you have any type of relationship and you are not able to forgive and you hold on to things that people do to you, if you hold grudges, you cannot have any successful relationships. Because forgiveness is the oil that keeps the engine of relationships open. If that oil doesn't exist, eventually the engine is going to blow up. In fact, I'm experiencing some wonderful thing with my 2012 Toyota RAV4. I found out that one of the problems with the car is that eventually once they hit over 100,000 miles, they start burning the oil. And my brother actually had a Toyota that had the same issue, and the engine blew up. So now my car has 198,562,000 miles on it. I know because I told my wife I'm trying to get to 300,000 miles so I can have bragging rights. But the problem is I will not get to 300,000 miles with that car unless I keep changing the oil and checking the oil. And that's gotten so bad, and I'm not joking, every 2 days I have to open that trunk and then check the engine oil. And then I have a full cart of oil in my car. Every time it goes low, I have to put that in manually. And I went to the mechanic and said, that's all you got to keep doing because there's nothing else. The moment that I stopped pouring oil into that engine, the moment I stopped checking that engine to make sure it has proper oil, the engine is going to blow. And the car will be over. And my dream of reaching 300,000 miles for bragging rights shatters. For you in your marriage, for you in your relationship with your children, for you in your relationship with your family, your friends, are you checking to see whether the oil of forgiveness is there? The moment that you stop forgiving is the moment that you start setting the countdown for the demise of your marriage and of your relationship with your friends, with your family, with your children. Without forgiveness, no relationship will last. No marriage will survive because we live with sinful people bound to hurt us, bound to mess up. And if we cannot forgive them and move on, you will get to a point where the cup will overflow and that relationship will die. You know, every time the child, a parent, a friend, a spouse, a family member disappoints you, falls short of your expectations, and does something to hurt you, if you don't forgive immediately, little feelings of resentment will begin to build up. Little feelings of annoyances will begin to build up. Small feelings of bitterness will begin to creep in. And the ill feelings caused by the many offenses of that person has the potential to transform into harmful bacteria that begins to eat up at your relationship. That's why sometimes you see people, marriages blow up. What happened? The person blows up, does something really dramatic, walks out and says, what happened? It is the case of a person who was not able to forgive and was not open about their hurt. And as you do one little thing after another, it simply builds up. It simply builds up. It gets repressed. It gets repressed. And it gets built up and gets repressed. And eventually there's no more room for repression and they just blow up. Every caustic comment, every dismissive look that the husband gives you, every comment that's demeaning that the wife makes toward that husband, every comment, every look that says, I despise you, I don't respect you, every act of unkindness and every act of abuse puts one more crack into the armor of that relationship and weakens it. And if there is no forgiveness to oil that engine, eventually it breaks down. And sometimes those feelings of bitterness, resentment, anger, annoyances, the grudges, they go on for years and years. But eventually they will catch up. They will blow up. Now, I want to make sure I address something that is very important. And as we talk about forgiveness, God realizes that many of you, many people, have been hurt deeply by someone who was supposed to love them. Somebody was perhaps close to them. Somebody of trust. Somebody of confidence. Some of you may have been on the receiving end of physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. Perhaps you know somebody that you care about and love who's been on the receiving end of abuse. Your trust has been betrayed. And then sometimes bitterness occurs when you look at the person who's abused you, the person who's wronged you, and it looks as if everything is going well with them. They're able to move on, to go on. Justice has not been done. And you look at them and you see how messed up your life has become because of what they have done. You begin to be bitter. You begin to be angry. Angry at them, angry sometimes at God. The person who abused you seems very carefree, very happy. Life is going on. And you have to, on a daily basis, deal with the repercussions of what they have done to you. God understands that. And you find yourself experiencing searing anger, resentment, bitterness as you look at your life and the life of the person who's wronged you and you compare. May I suggest to you that sometimes, even in those circumstances, that God has an answer. God still wants you to forgive. God still wants you to release that person. Forgiveness is the act of releasing a person. Because bitterness actually holds you captive to that person. And often, sometimes the person is moving on. That husband who wronged you, that wife who hurt you, betrayed you, that father, that teacher who abused you, sometimes their lives are there going on and you become the prisoner of the bitterness that you have against them. And yet you are powerless to do anything to hurt them. You're only hurting yourself. Someone said, bitterness is how we punish ourselves for another person's sin. Because you, this is like some, I think it was someone else also said, when you hate somebody for what they've done to you, when you become bitter against someone what they've done to you, sometimes it feels good, but it's like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die from that poison. One person who suffered a bit and who understood was Martin Luther King Jr. And he was being interviewed once and someone asked him, how can you go on? And he was being thrown in jail. They had released dogs when he went to Selma. And dogs were just going at young people and looking at that stuff. And dog going at him also. And he sees the injustices. He said, how can you not be bitter? How can you not be angry? And he said, no, I am angry. But he said, how can you not be bitter? And he said, as my sufferings mounted, I soon realized that there are two ways in which I could respond to my situation. Either to react with bitterness or seek to transform the suffering into a creative force. I decided to follow the latter course. There are people who've done it. How many people have been abused by someone, rather than crawling into a little ball and be bitter and resentful and angry, they rechannel that. They forgive the person without letting the person off the hook. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But then we channel that anger into a creative force where they go to minister to people who've been abused. They go and seek healing so that they could be a source of healing for people who've been through the same situation. I always say that people, God never, ever allows the suffering of his children to go to waste. When you've been hurt, all of a sudden you have graduated to become the best person to minister to someone who's gone through the same hurt. Who is better equipped to minister to the divorced than someone who've known the pain of divorce? They could sit with that person who is hurting and say, I know how you feel. I've been there. Who's the best person to minister to someone who's had an abortion and is guilt-ridden by it, but a person has gone through an abortion? Who's the best person to minister, to bring healing to someone who's been sexually abused, than someone who had been sexually abused themselves and who's been healed by God and who can say to that person who is dealing with the aftermath of this horrible situation and say, I know how you feel. There's something, there's a healing that comes from hearing someone say to you, I know how you feel. So if you're bitter because of a situation that you've gone through, because of people who've hurt you, ask God to replace your bitterness into a creative force where he can use your bad experience to be a source of blessing and healing to people who may be going through what you have gone through. God doesn't want your suffering to be wasted. He doesn't want it to turn into bitterness and then for your life to be completely destroyed. God wants you to forgive. He wants you to forgive because if you don't, your life will be destroyed. You know, there's a study that showed that people who are divorced and who have not forgiven their former spouse, who still have bitterness against that former spouse, are 6 times more likely to be divorced again, regardless of the kind of person they marry. And that applies specifically to divorced people who have not forgiven their previous spouse. Because they carry the bitterness and the anger and the resentment into that new relationship. And they replay that into that new relationship. They treat that person as if that person had the potential to do the same thing. And a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy occurs. And eventually, it blows up. People with bitterness are not able to move on, to carry on. They become crippled emotionally, crippled spiritually. And obviously they cannot have any type of healthy relationship until they've dealt with that bitterness. In spite of how much you've been hurt, despite the wrong that you've suffered, Jesus says that before you can offer anything to God, if you want God to use you, you've got to let go and release the person who hurt you and let go of the bitterness, let go of the anger, let go of the resentment, because it will destroy you. You must extend forgiveness to people who have hurt you. Not for their sake, but for your sake. You know, Jesus said talking about in Matthew 22:23, technically you are no good to God. No good to God at all. If you harbor resentment and bitterness, God will not accept anything from you, not to mention the fact that you will be incapable of serving God. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verses 22 and 23 and 24. And Jesus was saying, if you are going to the altar to offer your gift, offer your offering, offer your tithes, and you remember. Now listen to this. He didn't say you remember that you have something against your brother. He said, and you remember that your brother has something against you. He said, lift your gift here at the altar. First go and reconcile to them. Then come and offer your gift. You have to forgive and be reconciled. Now I want to make sure, as a pastor, that I want to put something very, like, clarify something that sometimes some preachers have misunderstood. And this is this. Forgiveness is a one-way street. What I mean by that is, I don't even need the person to repent in order for me to forgive them. God commands me to forgive those who hurt me, who sin against me. Not if they repent or if they say sorry. I have to forgive them. I have to release them. Otherwise, I destroy myself and I destroy my relationship with God and I destroy any other subsequent relationship that God would allow me to have. Whatever the person has done to you, it is your responsibility to forgive them and release them. Release the feeling of anger. Release the hatred that you may harbor against that person. And to do that, and we're going to talk about that next week, but I give you a preview, it goes right back to the first thing that I said when we started the series. You can't accomplish this thing. Releasing that person, forgive that person, is not something that you can do on your own. It is a supernatural act of God that you achieve only in the Word and on your knees. But you have to forgive that person. Now, here's the other thing. While forgiveness is a one-way street, Jesus, yes, mentioned in Matthew 5 that you'll go back and be reconciled, but please take that into context. Reconciliation, while this is the general will of God, in some circumstances may not be possible. While forgiveness must be unconditional, reconciliation is not. While forgiveness is a one-way street, reconciliation is a two-way street. And the reason why I want to clarify that is because you have situations, for example, where someone, a wife or a former wife, has been physically abused by a husband, or some child or young person has been sexually abused by another person, and then you have preachers who say, forgive that person and be reconciled. Put yourself into the same situation. God does not require that. You are required to forgive completely, release that person of all hatred, of all ill feelings. But if that person has the potential to hurt you, you are not required to reconcile and have a relationship again the same way with that person again. Now, there are three necessary conditions for reconciliation and restoration of the relationship. Let me explain again. There is no condition for forgiveness, but there are three necessary conditions to restore a relationship to what it was before. The first is responsibility. That means a willingness to take responsibility and not rationalizing the things that has been done. If someone abuses you sexually, physically, and you forgive them and you try to seek reconciliation, now you should try to seek reconciliation. But that person did no responsibility for what they've done, or they're blaming you for the abuse, they're not ready for a restoration of the relationship. You go back to that relationship, you go back to the same hurt, the same situation that occurred, and that's not glorifying to God. You know, some people think that because I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to just be a piñata. And people can just hurt you all the time. People misunderstood and mistranslated and misexplained Jesus' command to turn the other cheek. The person has to take responsibility. And number two, there has to be repentance from the other person. They have to acknowledge what they've done wrong, and they have to turn away from what they had done. And then, when possible, there must be reparation or restitution. And all of these principles that I give you are the same principles that God uses to restore our relationship with Him. God has already forgiven each one of you in Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is claim that forgiveness. But in order to restore your relationship with God to the way it was before, God has some requirements. First, He requires that you repent. If you don't repent, the forgiveness is right there, but you're not claiming it. And you surely cannot have a relationship and an intimacy with God as you had before if you do not repent. And repentance, the prerequisite to that is accepting responsibility and say, like David, I have sinned against you and you alone, and I've done wrong and evil in your sight. And then, so we said, responsibility, repentance, and reparation or restitution. Because you forgive someone doesn't mean they're off the hook in terms of the legal consequences that they have to bear. If somebody abuses you, your job is to release them. Your job is to pray to God to release every ounce of bitterness that you have in your heart. Your job is to let them go. Your job is to even love them in Christ. But if you have to report that to the police, you have an obligation to do so. Your forgiveness does not get them off the hook, because then it allows them to then move on to the next victim and hurt somebody else. You know, when David sin against God and Bathsheba, God forgave him, but he wasn't off the hook. If you look in 2 Samuel 11, God begins to tell David the amount of stuff that would happen because of his sin against Bathsheba. It wasn't a punishment. It was a natural order of things, a natural consequence of his sin, of the shame that he brought upon God's name. Even the Apostle Paul, interestingly enough, if you recall, Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was there when Stephen was stoned, and they brought Stephen's bloody clothes by his feet as a witness. And when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus said he would be the person to turn the heart of the pagans toward me. Interestingly enough, Paul wasn't off the hook. Paul was not off the hook at all. God said he will suffer on account of me. God had a way of aligning his justice and his love and his grace. So the fact that a person has hurt you, you forgive them, does not release them of their responsibility. As I said before, you don't forgive the person because of them. The same way Jesus didn't forgive you because of you. Jesus didn't forgive me because I deserve forgiveness. Jesus forgave me because of him. He's a God of forgiveness. So as Christ, you forgive not because the person deserved your forgiveness, but because you are a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, who is called to do the things that Jesus does. So forgiveness is an act of obedience, and it's also a gift that you offer to yourself. Forgiveness is a gift of freedom, because bitterness simply keeps you captive and a slave to the person against whom you are bitter. Forgiveness becomes the gift that you give to yourself. And I want to give you 7 reasons why we must forgive other people. The first one is that we forgive because of the example of Jesus Christ. As I said before, that's what Jesus does, and that's what he commands us to do. The second thing is that we are most like God when we forgive other people. What characterizes, what sets Christianity apart from any other religion is the fact that God took the initiative. Jesus, the Apostle Paul said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ took the initiative to forgive us when we didn't even know that we needed forgiveness. Your job is to take the initiative to forgive the person who hurt you, who sinned against you, even when they don't realize that they need forgiveness. The third one is that it is in the character of the Christian to forgive. That's who you are. Back in the days, Christians used to be called little Christ. Little Christ. That's who you are. It's who you are. You are a forgiver. If you are a Christian, you must be a forgiver. The fourth one is that, as I said before, forgiveness frees you from the cancer of bitterness. If you don't forgive, you will become bitter. And bitterness is a cancer that will destroy you and that will destroy every other relationship that you have. If you were married before and you still have a resentment against that former spouse, it will creep into your new marriage. If you have been hurt in the past and you are harboring bitterness against that person who hurt you, it will creep into any other relationship that you have. Forgiveness, fifth, delivers us from the grip of Satan. Satan would want nothing better than to keep you and me hostage to bitterness, to anger, to rage. Because he knows by doing that, we cannot have a relationship with God. We cannot have communion with God. Sixth, forgiveness frees us from the chastening of God. And we're going to see that next week. Seven, forgiveness enables us to experience God's forgiveness. That's what Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive those who forgive who sins against us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't forgive you. God has forgiven you. But if you're bitter, you will not be able to experience God's forgiveness in your life. You know, there were 2 cars were involved in an accident. One of the drivers had insurance. The other one didn't. The driver without insurance also didn't have a job, and his license had expired. The insured driver had a choice after he left the scene of the accident. He could live the rest of his life ticked off, angry, bitter, resentful about his messed up bumper and leave it that way. Or he could use his own insurance to get the car fixed. What would you choose? The driver chooses insurance to get his car fixed, rather than be held hostage by someone else's lack of insurance. You've been bumped up, someone hit you from behind. Some of you have been kicked around, sometimes literally and figuratively. But what is it that you're going to do? The person who hurts you has no insurance. They have no moral compass. They probably don't have God in their lives. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They are spiritually and emotionally bankrupt. That's why they hurt you. You have insurance. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a God who loves you. A God who forgave you. Who modeled forgiveness to you. Are you going to go the rest of your life resentful, bitter? Or are you going to turn to the God who can fix it and enable you to move forward with your life? Next, we will look at what happens when you harbor bitterness and don't forgive other people. We'll also look at practically how you can get rid of the feeling of bitterness and unforgiveness so that you may move forward in your relationship with God. Some of you are stuck in your relationship with God. You can't feel the presence of God. God cannot use you because you have bitterness, unforgiveness in your heart. I want to pray for you. And I want you to, the next couple of minutes, to bow your head and close your eyes. And I want you to think of a person, perhaps, that you right now have not totally forgiven. That you may have harbored or continue to harbor some level of resentment, some level of bitterness against that person. I want you to, in your heart, not out loud, silently, bring that person's name. You don't have to repeat it. Bring that person's name to God. And ask God to give you the Holy Spirit-induced supernatural power to release that person and to clear your heart of all unforgiveness, of all bitterness, regardless of how big or small it is. Some of you, your bitterness is that big. Some of you, it is that small. But both are sinful before God. Bring that up before God. Bring that person's name before God. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name right now. You said in your word in Ephesians 4:32, let no bitterness, let no rage, let no anger, let no resentment enter our hearts. Some of them, oh God, some of us, oh Lord, not only has bitterness entered our hearts, but it's been there and it's been our roommate for years and years and years. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name right now to give the supernatural Holy Spirit-induced strength and wisdom to remove the bitterness, however great or small it may be, that's in the heart of each person here, so that they may be free, that they may forgive, Lord, as they themselves have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.